We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
All right, welcome back to Big Screen Sports, the sports movie podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast. I am your host, Kyle Bandujo. Got a quick Thursday mini-sode coming at you today. Hope everyone's been enjoying the Ted Lasso rewatch with my co-host, Alex McDaniel. That's coming at you every Monday. Also, if you're enjoying that Ted Lasso rewatch, and you know, let us know with a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Leave a nice review because you know that's what Ted Lasso would do. But today, we are going to be taking a quick break from Ted to do one of my favorite things. Listen to other people's opinions about sports movies. You folks get my nonsense in your ears every Monday. It's nice to have someone else on to tell us about their favorites and what they like. Here to give us his top five, it's a guy whose hustle I've admired from afar for a long time. The host of the Veterans Minimum Podcast, also on the Blue Wire Network, Nick Dais. Nick, what's going on, man?
Dude, I appreciate that, man. I like that intro. Thank you. I'm excited. You know, one thing about me, just to pull back the curtain a little bit, I'm not the biggest movie guy.
Like, and that's something we talked about a little bit when we were circling the wagons on this.
Yeah. So I'm not the biggest movie guy. I get a lot of heat from my friends, dude. Like 3 years ago was the first time I watched Sandlot. So to paint the picture, talk about sports movies in a way. And I just recently watched Scarface like 3 weeks ago on Netflix.
Oh.
But I will say this. I've probably watched every sports movie there is out there.
Okay. I mean, so that's all that's important on this show.
Yeah. So like, because when I promote this show, they're going to be like, dude, why were you on a movie podcast? I'll be like, yo, I'm talking about sports, you know, like that's my thing. Like I've watched the sports movies. So, but yeah, man, I appreciate the kind words in the intro.
Yeah. I don't know anyone in the world who doesn't like sports movies. Doesn't at least have one sports movie that they're like, yeah, I'm about this. This is my thing. But before we get into that, tell the folks where they can find all your content. Because like I said, I've been admiring your hustle for a long time and you're a grinder. So tell everyone where it's at.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate that, man. Again, I like when people say nice things about me. I mean, who doesn't like, you know, a nice compliment? But especially from your peers, though, that means a lot. You know, we're on the same network and we've connected a few times. But it's called Veterans Minimum. It's a play on words. No, I am not a veteran. I get that often. But, you know, in the sports world, the guy signs for the Veterans Minimum because he's trying to chase a championship or he wants to keep playing. And it's a general podcast, I think is the best way to describe it. I kind of talk about a lot of things that I'm interested in. It's really like 6 or 7 things, Kyle, that I'm interested in. And I've been able to put together an audience that is kind of interested in those same kind of things, right? Wrestling, football, MMA, all sports, really. If it's a big talking point in the sports world, I'll touch on it on my show. I like to get my childhood friends on more than I do the beat writer for the Atlanta Braves or the Detroit Pistons, just because there's a sense of camaraderie and chemistry that you can't duplicate with a childhood friend. And those tend to do better than the episodes when I do get reporters and athletes on, because, you know, I could say some wild stuff to my friend that I can't say to a professional athlete. But it's
can't
cool,
let
man.
It fly with the beat beat writer.
Yeah. And there's a sense of humor and stuff. Like, you know, everyone that listens to my show, when you get called a legend on my show, it's not a good thing. You know, it's kind of insulting. And when you tell someone congrats, it's not a good congrats. It's like, well, you're an idiot. Congratulations on that. But yeah, man, I've been doing it for about, August will be 6 years that I've been doing it.
Damn.
A lot of sports betting stuff as well. And it's cool, man. I've had a lot of different guests on, and it's the one thing that I enjoy doing the most, and I just kind of do it all the time.
And where can the folks find it? When? What days do your episodes come out?
So usually, and I say usually because the NBA playoffs have kind of thrown things off a little bit, Mondays and Thursdays, a layout. I do drop a lot of emergency podcasts. Guy gets traded, guy gets hurt, crazy outcome in a game we didn't expect. There'll be an emergency podcast. So usually Mondays and Thursdays, but now with the NBA playoffs, probably like every 2 days, probably getting something, just because there's a lot. There's a lot to take in, right? In 2 days, you're looking at maybe 8 to 10 games being played. So it's at Veterans Minimum is the best place to find everything. And my handle is at The Lamb Show.
So your episodes are always like up to date. What is, you know, what's going on right now? You and I today are going to talk about something that's very evergreen. I always say on my feed, pretty much everything can last forever on my feed. There's nothing that's really timely or needs to be consumed right away. But today we're going to talk about your top five favorite sports movies and some honorable mentions that you gave me as well. But before we get into that, for you, as someone who's seen almost every sports movie, what makes a good sports movie? What's the difference there?
So I like historical context a lot. I like, and you're going to see a theme in some of my picks here. A lot of them are based on things that have happened, right? Or based on an event that has happened. Adding more details to something, adding the personalities to the athletes and the storylines that you've liked, I think is what makes a great sports movie. And also the underdog story, the adversity, just like in sports, right? Like you want that guy that or that girl that got hurt and they were an MVP candidate and then everyone's counting them out. And then it's the underdog story, right? 90% of people just always gravitate to the underdog. So that's how I would describe a great, great sports movie.
That's really how the modern sports movie came about, is really Rocky kind of vaulted things into this new stratosphere of these movies can make a lot of money. They can also be successful in award shows, and Rocky's the ultimate underdog. But so on this show, each episode, when we break down a single sports movie, you know, right off the bat, we classify it as a Hall of Fame, all-star, starter, or bench warmer. You gave me your five favorites and a couple honorable mentions. Would you say that all of these are Hall of Famers?
Oof. Oof. I think the list is very, it's, there's maybe one surprise, which I know you got excited about that I mentioned, but for the most part, I think all of them are iconic movies. It's like, yeah, that makes sense that that would be on your list. So I would say two of them are Hall of Fame. What were the categories again?
So we do Hall of Fame, All-Star, Starter, or Benchwarmer. And now I've, on the show, I have covered three of the movies on your list so far. And all three of them I have put in as Hall of Famers. So I will say that.
Okay. Okay. So I don't think I have a Benchwarmer.
No, you definitely don't have a Benchwarmer.
I think I have... I have one that's going to be a Hall of Fame, which I'd be shocked if it's in your Hall of Fame too. I'm very excited to hear if that's one of the movies that you put in there. I'd be super excited if that was the case. But I would say the floor on this top five is definitely Starter, but we got a lot of like upper echelon kind of movies.
You're a tough grader. I'm much more liberal with the grades. If it's something I really like, it's an all-star at the minimum. So I'm interested to see. So break down your honorable mentions for me. So what you have to do, you gave me, I think, two honorable mention movies in a show. But what you have to do with your honorable mentions is not only break down why you like them, but also why they're not as good as then your number five movie.
Ooh, okay, okay. So the honorable mention one, I know I gave you two, but one of them I slotted up. So the one that is honorable mention for me is Gridiron Gang, with, you know, potentially the future president of the United States, Kyle, the People's Champ, The Rock.
People's Champ.
right? Yes, so I'm a big wrestling fan, as you can see, my goat Stone Cold Steve Austin over my shoulder there, and the Notorious B.I.G. in the background too. But so Gridiron Gang, it's a football movie. I like the concept of it. I thought it was really interesting and different. This dude who The Rock plays starts coaching a bunch of juvenile delinquents and sort of like these young kids who people have given up on, and he helps them get their way out of jail and become something of themselves by playing football. And I'm not entirely sure. I don't remember if it's based on a true story, but it does.
It is based on a true
story. Yeah, yeah, right. So it gave you the vibe of, oh, this is definitely something that can be based on a true story. And, you know, teams were afraid to play them because parents and other officials were like, oh my God, they're all convicts. They're all bad people. The iconic line is, yeah, I've played quarterback before. They're like, yo, you said you played quarterback. He's like, yeah, man, I play Madden, which is an iconic line. But also The Rock just has a lot of quotes in that movie that really like resonated with, like, even though that, you know, even though you're locked up, you're somebody, right? The two like main protagonists on the football team, one is a wide receiver and DB, I believe, and the other one is the running back. And they were from like rival gangs, right? There was a lot of animosity between the two of them. Do we have spoilers on here?
Yeah, no. I think everything on your list is at least 15 years old. So
okay, yeah. cool. Yeah, if you haven't watched it, that's on you, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you haven't watched it, like hit 30 seconds twice.
Yeah. So, you know, like the dude ends up getting hurt in the movie too, and you know, the one kid's family members and old gang members come in, and they see the other dude repping his gang in his set, and they, you know, they shoot at him, and it's like now the football player is, you know, sort of gravitating towards his brother in arms on the field as opposed to his brother in arms on the streets. So it was just a dope movie, man, and I really liked it. And it was something that really resonated with me. And also, I'm just, you know, if you're a wrestler in a movie, like, I'm in already. You know, I got to stay true to my guys.
Yeah, no, that's a movie that has also benefited some from, it gets a lot of cable run, especially like MTV plays that one a lot. I don't know if they were the production company behind it. They might have. But yeah, no, Gridiron Gang is enjoyable. It's not a Hall of Famer for me, but it's got a lot of moments that you look forward to. And that just a lot of stuff that makes you feel good in that one.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a hell of a point, dude. Like, I didn't want to put it on here, but ESPN does cover poker. Rounders is a sensational movie, which
that's Hall of Fame for sure. That Rounders is incredible.
Rounders is incredible. Rounders has lost people a lot of money because they thought they could start playing poker and they got them into poker. I am a big poker fan. I recently had someone from The Ringer on, David Hill, who's a big sports betting and gambling guy. And we talked about the fall, sort of the rise, fall, and rise again of online poker. I was a young poker kid coming up, right? Like, I remember Black Friday when the CIA and the feds sort of shut down all online poker gambling stuff. I lost close to like a couple thousands of dollars being a 20-year-old kid in college and thinking like, yo, I'm gonna just drop out. My grades plummeted because I'm like, dude, I got over $10,000 on my Full Tilt account. Like, I'm the next Phil Ivey and Phil Hellmuth. You know what I mean? So, but Rounders, similar to Gridiron Gang, is a like classic, on demand, gonna stream it, evergreen kind of movie that did so much better when it became that kind of movie that people were able to go back to and watch often.
Yeah, it's got that cult classic feel too. Like, that's one, if it's on TV, I'm all in. That's one that sucks me in every single time. Great Matt Damon, great Edward Norton. Like, I'm a huge Rounders fan.
Yeah, Rounders was great. So that's why I didn't put it on the list, because I didn't know if that would classify as a sports movie. But if we did, it would be in my top five. I just want to point that out.
We play it very fast and loose on this podcast. We have covered A Knight's Tale as a sports movie. We keep it pretty loose. If there's anything sports related, we're in.
Okay, fair enough. I'll remember that for next time.
Yeah, and your other, what was your other honorable mention?
So the other honorable mention, because I noticed that I didn't give you five exactly when I sent it to you and we were kind of talking back and forth. I had two honorable mentions, but should I just get into my top five or should I tell you about the series?
So the series that you pointed out, I've said it before on this podcast, is my biggest pop culture black hole. I have not seen an episode. It is like, it's hanging over my head is something I have to watch. But like, you know, now, I mean, we're in, you know, binge culture, you know, you got to watch a show or something. But now when it's easier to, I'm going to start like Mayor of Easttown, which is coming out every week on HBO. And there's one season and we're in like mini series culture versus this show that you're going to talk about and all the shows from previous decades. When you commit to that, you're committing hours and hours and hours of your life. So tell us about your series.
Okay, first and foremost, I want to say you definitely saved yourself because I was ready to hit off on the Zoom, the fact that you haven't watched this. But you gave a hell of a point. And you're right. When you stream something, you know, that's the issue, Kyle, that I've had with The Sopranos. I've gotten through season one of The Sopranos, and then, you know, I start getting into Money Heist, and I start watching all these other things, and then before you know it, it's like, damn, dude, I haven't watched Sopranos in about 3 months.
Me and my wife are in the same place. Sopranos and The West Wing, we're both in the middle of right now, and it's just like, man, it's, dude, like, The West Wing season one has, like, 22-hour-long episodes. It's crazy. Just, it was different times back then.
Yeah, so, like, with Sopranos, now I gotta go back and kind of watch it again. Like, I have to map out a 1 month period where I'm not watching anything else. I'm thinking maybe July, like the dog days of summer, no sports really on, though the NBA is probably going to play into July this year.
Shots fired at baseball for Mick, right?
Yeah, listen, I'm a Met fan. We're staying afloat right now the best we can. A lot of injuries. When the Mets are good, I am invested, but I'm only really invested in the Mets. So like, I can't tell you what the Padres are doing. Can't tell you what the Mariners are doing. That's just, you know, how it is with me. But, The show I'm talking about, Friday Night Lights, dude, an absolute classic. So are you familiar with the history of Friday Night Lights?
Oh, so Friday Night Lights is my favorite football movie. And I went to college in Odessa, Texas, where the high school that the Friday Night Lights movie, where that story is from. So like the movie, I am steeped in that, in that culture, in that movie. Like, I think it's just a perfect movie. I didn't jump on the show when it started, and now it's just like hanging over my head, just staring at me. Like, I know I got to start it, and it's just, it's daunting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool, man. I've, you know, one of the things on my bucket list is I want to go to a Friday night football game in Texas. I want to go to the University of Texas on Saturday, and then I want to go see a Cowboy game, even though I'm a Giants fan. So I want to have like a full Texas size football weekend. With that said, Friday Night Lights, right? So what I meant by the history of it is, so this show was originally on either NBC or ABC, the first season, and it got great numbers. It did really, really well. And then it went to like ABC Family, which was a channel that I didn't have at the time, for the rest of its like history. And then I'm like, dude, whatever happened to Friday Night Lights? I love that show. Coach Taylor was an iconic figure. Tim Riggins, my first celebrity crush, Minka Kelly, was in that too. Layla Garrity. I actually met her one time, Kyle, in the city at my job. She was shooting a movie right by where my family business is. And she came by and we saw like donuts and breakfast and stuff on the streets. She came by with, I'm assuming, her assistant. And she kind of was like eyeing the truck and whatnot. And I was sitting on the outside. She keeps looking like the donuts. And they literally stopped in front of the truck. And I was just like, can I help you? She's like, I want to have a donut, but I can't right now. And I was like, why? She's like, I don't have my wallet. I was like, nah, that's cool. So I gave it to her. And I was like, yo, you were my first celebrity crush. Yeah. I was like, yo, you're my first celebrity crush. She's like, oh, that's so sweet of you. She's like, how old are you? And I was like, I'm 27 at the time, right? She's like, you definitely liked Friday Night Lights. I was like, yes, Layla Garrity. And she was like, awesome. But yeah, she's my first celebrity crush, Minka Kelly. The origins of that show with, you know, the starting quarterback. He ends up, sorry, Kyle, But you said you've made the rules, man. Yeah, it's been over 15 years.
I actually this is another problem with the show, is that there's been so much on like Twitter and social media and stuff. Like, it's like if you're a person who tries to watch Game of Thrones now, you know half the shit that's going to happen because of Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. So I don't feel bad spoiling it, but you know, the starting quarterback, stud quarterback, D1 offers first game of the season gets paralyzed, right? And then the backup comes in, and then, you know, the backup ends up leading them to a state finals appearance. And it's just, you know, like the history of just, I've been such a football junkie my whole life, and getting to see like high school Texas football, right? The relationships, how that plays into the role, a player who is a superstar gets hurt. So it's just amazing. Michael B. Jordan, he plays a quarterback in that show. Vince. Like when Michael B. Jordan a couple of years ago became like Michael B. Jordan, the star, again, I'm not the biggest movie guy. I was like, oh shit, Vince from Friday Night Lights? They're like, dude, what do you mean? Like he's a megastar now. I was like, nah, bro, that's always gonna be Vince from Friday Night Lights. But it was a dope show, man, and I couldn't recommend it more to anyone who's a sports fan, anyone who just likes being captivated by a show. It does a great, great job.
I think at some point I just got to lock myself in a room for an entire weekend and just get through it. Cause I can't keep doing this podcast and have guest after guest just be like, man, that show's great. How have you not watched it? Like it's just a black mark on my sports movie transcript. But let's switch gears with the stay in high school, but switch gears with the sport and get into your number five favorite sports movie.
Okay, so my number five favorite sports movie is Remember the Titans.
Saints sports. So you actually, okay, so this is interesting. You gave me a list of five, but I don't think you didn't number it. So you
I didn't gave, number okay, it.
Okay,
so no.
this is gonna be a surprise for me then. Okay.
Yeah. So Remember the Titans, number five, coming in at number five. And look, Denzel crushes it. Again, I love movies that have iconic slogans and quotes. And, you know, I would always play that when I was playing high school football along with another movie, a couple of stuff. You know, the racial tension in the beginning of the movie between the black kids and the white kids. And then all of a sudden you see how, like, football is really family, man, because in the end of the day, I played quarterback in high school. I needed my five guys in front of me to block for me to be successful, right? And for us to win, we needed the big uglies in the front to do their job. So you don't, when you play sports, man, that's why I think sports are so, so important to your mental state, your developing character skills for the rest of your life, because you don't care what color that person is. You don't care what gender that person is, right? Like, can you help us win? And do you got my back? That's all that matters. And that's really what I took away from Remember the Titans. And it was the one of the few movies that really resonated with me moving forward after.
And the thing that kind of you're talking about with what sports means for kind of the rest of your life and means for you as a person, this movie also, that Denzel performance, it is a coach who you know cares about his players as humans and what this means for them beyond the football field. There's another movie on your list where it's kind of the same thing. But Titans is, I always call Titans like a TNT Hall of Famer, because that movie is always on TV all the time. Always gets a rerun. So even if we didn't love Remember the Titans, like by the time when after you've seen it for the 100th time, you're like, this movie's in. But it's a great movie. It was the first episode of this podcast ever. You know, it misses a few things football wise that I like to poke fun at, but it's, I mean, you can't argue with the Denzel Washington sports movie. He's got two of them, and they're both, you know, they're both Hall of Famers for me.
Couldn't agree with you more, man.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster.
Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hit me with number four.
Okay, so number four, I think, is the other movie that you were probably thinking I was going to go with, and that's another high school-themed movie, Coach Carter. Mm-hmm. Coach Carter, tremendous.
Another TNT Hall of Famer. Movies on all the time.
Yeah, another TNT Hall of Famer. While the Knicks are on in the background and they're currently losing, they are on TNT as well. And yeah, I'm not in a good position right now, Kyle. Thank you for being a distraction, because I'd be going off on Twitter right now. So back to Coach Carter. True story, right? And the idea of taking kids who have been counted out, who come from troubled pasts or troubled homes, and he becomes a father figure to them. He also has his son who plays on the team. And, you know, growing up playing sports, you always had that kid. I think it'd be impossible if you played sports to have never played with a coach's kid. And there's always that weird dynamic. Is he playing because he's nice? And nice meaning like, is he good? Or is he playing because it's the coach's kid? And that was cool to see. Like, no, you know what, man? Coach Carter's son can actually ball. It's sort of an underdog story when they play that one kid who's going to be the top pick in the NBA draft. And, you know, he ends up winning the game against them. But they gain his respect. They show what it's like being a high school kid who has a lot of attention on them at parties and with girls, and how they get in trouble by, you know, not being focused on the task at hand. And the sort of come to Jesus moment by Samuel L. Jackson, where they're like, dude, we won. Like, can we just have some fun? Like, we're kids in the end. We're 16, 17-year-old dudes. Like, we want to, like, chill and relax a bit. So it was a really cool movie to see, and how the community rallies behind them and whatnot, and trying to get them with their grades, right? You always have those kids. I mean, I played in the public school league in Queens and in the city, and, you know, there was always that first report card that would come in, Kyle, and it's like, all right, we're going to lose 4 to 5 dudes off our team because they just don't make grades. And it's like, damn it, man, can you just go to gym and, like, dress up so you don't fail it? Or, like, just, like, show up to chemistry, man. And it always just, like, ends a season for you prematurely because, like, guys don't make grades. And you see how, like, Coach Carter is on their ass to, you know, you guys got to make grades. School is important. School is important. Whether you don't want to be in school, you want to play basketball? Yes, coach, I want to play basketball. You got to make your grades. So Coach Carter is a top fiver for sure.
Same thing as with Titans and that Denzel performance, and Samuel L. being a high school coach that you know, cares about his players as humans and is doing this not to win a bunch of basketball games, but to set his players up for success after high school and to give them options after high school, which a lot of they beat that over your head within the movie, that a lot of these kids don't have options without this. So great basketball action in that movie too. Just a lot of awesome slam dunks. All the action looks real good. All the guys look like they can play. I enjoy Coach Carter again when that's on TNT. I'm in. Hit me with number three. Where are we going? I like this because I have no idea where you're going.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna ask you if you wanted them in order.
No, I kind of like this then, better.
Yeah, I like these better too. Like, I like that I gave you my list, but now it's you know, get an authentic reaction. Okay, number three on my list, Miracle.
Ooh, Hall of Famer.
Fun fact, dude, I did not know until I watched this movie. Again, talking about before, what makes a good sports movie? Real facts, revisionist history. I didn't know that they beat the Russians in the semis. Had no idea until I watched the movie.
So you always thought that the Miracle on Ice was the gold medal?
I thought they won the gold medal, yeah. So I'm getting chills thinking about it when he talks to them before the gold medal game. And he says, if you guys don't beat Finland... you're going to take that to your grave. And then he pauses and he goes, I don't know if you could curse, but he says, to your effing grave. And it's like, oh, let's go. I want to put my head through a wall right now just thinking about it. And, you know, the, again, underdog story, right? All college kids. Russia is this powerhouse. The Soviet Union is this powerhouse, just slapping people all over the place. They played them prior to the Olympics, and they put the beats on them too. And then just to see, you know, you also have the dynamic of the Cold War stuff going on, Russia versus the United States, and just a true, true underdog story. And to see them win that semis, my mom has told me stories about that too, because she was a teenager when that went down. And to see that go down the way it did in the semis, and then to have them actually win it in the gold medal round is just like icing on the cake, you know? Like, I think it was such a monumental event, Kyle, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this. It's great that they won the gold medal, but I think that wouldn't have even mattered if they didn't, because it was so, like, again, I think so many people were like me, where they thought that was the gold medal round. And I know, talking to some of my buddies, and I like hockey too. I think hockey is severely underrated. It's probably my second favorite sport. It used to be my favorite sport to go and watch in person. I think hockey is absolutely ridiculous in person. It's now number two. We'll get to what number one is in just a second. But it was something where, like, a lot of casual sports fans were like, dude, I never knew that that was not the gold medal round.
Yeah, it's kind of... it kind of works like the 2004 Red Sox, where they reversed the curse, but it's really all about beating the Yankees in the ALCS. It's not as much about that sweep of the Cardinals in the movie, and Miracle kind of goes into that, because you see one quick clip of the gold medal game. It's all about that, the Miracle on Ice against the Soviets. Yeah, so the director of this movie, Gavin O'Connor, is just the big chill god. He gets you, like, he gives you the chills a million times in this movie. He also directed another movie that's on your list that we haven't talked about yet. Like, he's a dream podcast guest for me because of what he does and how it... I talk about this a lot, but to get the chills in a sports movie, you have to be emotionally invested to a certain point. Like, you can't just, have a scene like the Mike Ruzioni, I play for the United States of America scene, if you haven't been emotionally bought into that character and this team before that. If you just try to do that without building up that emotional buy-in and you know what you're looking for in those characters, then it just doesn't hit. And Gavin O'Connor is the master of making sure that you are so emotionally in the tank with all these characters that every time he wants you to have a big chill moment, and then by the time that it's the end of the Russian game and you actually hear the "Do you believe in miracles?" that it just, like, makes you want to blow up. It's perfectly done. Miracle is such an easy first ballot Hall of Fame for me. Just a fantastic movie, fantastic choice. I was thrilled to see it on your list.
Dude, when I do like a warm-up at the gym, a lot of times I'll do like an elliptical or on the treadmill, or days where I don't have the energy, I'll throw on like iconic MMA fights or like scenes from movies, right? Like, that's one of the scenes where I'm like, oh, I'm jacked up now. I'm not going to give it away, but in a little bit, you'll hear something else that gets me fired up too. A Coach Carter speech also, you know? So it's like, yeah, that's... I don't know any directors, I think, that have done these movies. So I'm fascinated. Let me know who it is that directed another film that's on my list, because I want to make connections.
Hit me with number two.
Okay, so... all time, this is closing in on being my favorite sports movie, but it's not my favorite sports movie. But I think over the next couple of years, with how much of a fan I've become of mixed martial arts, I do see it surpassing my favorite sports movie, which I know the listeners can't see, but I think you could tell from my shirt right now what number one is. Just a little spoiler, brother, brother. But with that being said, if you haven't watched the movie Warrior, it was another classic, talking about like Rounders and Gridiron Gang, like the on-demand stuff. Dude, Warrior is so, so badass.
Nick, would it surprise you if I told you that the guy who directed Miracle, Gavin O'Connor, also directed Warrior, which is why they are both big chill classics and just incredible, incredible movies.
Okay, so... now that I think of it, I can see why he directed both of them. Okay, That makes a lot of sense, dude. I didn't know that.
Incredible. Warrior, covered Warrior, I think a few months ago on this podcast. I don't know, time kind of blends in together, but I do think it was this year. It was 2021 with Dan Stupp, formerly of The Athletic, now with Play Virginia. One of my favorite sports movies, just a movie that's like, it's a good, big, chill, kind of rah-rah sports movie in, you know, that exciting way, but also just a flawless movie with great performances. It has an Oscar-nominated Nick Nolte performance. Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton are both great. The action is great. Like, the actual MMA action looks awesome because they got real fighters for it. It is, I mean, that movie is phenomenal. The last scene of that movie, and if you're listening to this right now and you're like, God, I just want to hear people talk about Warrior for an hour, go listen to that episode. It was one of my favorites. But the last scene of that movie, and it's really interesting how he does it, in that I'm not going to spoil, but the last fight is, you know, it's not like a, you know, it's not this, like, it's not like Rocky. It's not like the end of Rocky where it's like there, you know, it's like a more muted thing, and it's so perfectly done with the music and everything. And I was thrilled that Miracle was on your list, but when I saw Warrior was on your list, like, that's what I messaged you. That was the first thing I responded to. I was like, Warrior is an all-time iconic sports movie, probably one of the five best of the last, you know, I guess 10 years now. I think it came out in 2011 or 2012.
Yo, dude, I mean, verbatim, is that's exactly it, right? Like, it was not your traditional ending of a fight scene or a fight, right, where it's like back and forth slugfest and like who's gonna win, where like they really did it where you see the sympathy being shown, right? You see the you know, like it's two brothers that are put into this tournament. One of them is like a teacher, if I remember correctly, and the other one's like this badass, and they put together this tournament, and it's for a lot of money, and they happen to be on opposite sides of the bracket. And they hadn't seen each other for a couple of years. And then, you know, because it's the movies and they wrote it up, they end up going to the finals. And then just the way it plays out, that fight scene is like, that's what really resonated with me, bro. Because I'm watching, I'm like, damn, dude, it's not your traditional fight scene. It's not like, you know, the guy gets knocked down and then he comes back up and then he knocks him down. It's kind of one-sided. But then it's like the actual, like, the family element comes into it, and it's great. I'm not gonna spoil this one because it's not on your cutoff, you know, like it's not over 15 years old, so we gotta listen to the rules.
Yeah, and it's something that is, compared to everything else that I think we've talked about today, it's something that's very underseen comparatively. It kind of slipped way under the radar in terms of how it did in the box office and everything like that. But if you're someone, I've said it so many times in this podcast, but if you're someone Warrior, like, it is worth, I don't know if it's streaming still, but even if it's not, it is worth the $5 to rent it on Amazon. It is one of the best, I mean, just one of the best sports movies of all time. It's just a great movie. Like, and it's something that, you know, you don't even have to love sports movies to watch. It is something your significant other will watch with you. Like, it is that good. It is an MMA movie that your significant other can watch with you and love. I think that is like the bow of how good Warrior is.
Well, yeah, it also taps into the family element, right? Like, imagine if you had to fight your brother, or your sister has to fight her sister in a combat environment, and there's a lot of money on the line, and it could save both of you, right? Like, imagine us two were brothers, and we were both in a financial crisis, and then we got to go and fight for $1 million or $10 million, whatever the price might be. It's like, there's a real life element there, man.
Well, from your Instagram, you do a lot of like jujitsu and fighting stuff. And
yeah,
I haven't lifted weights in a while. So I think you would win. I think I would lose that money. But I see where you're coming from.
So I mentioned before in passing about how hockey was my favorite sporting event to go to in person. MMA, UFC is number one. Like, I have a lot of my fans that listen to my show, Kyle, say, dude, the UFC should have you on payroll the way you vouch for them. First of all, it's a 5 to 6 hour event. It's a little pricey, not gonna lie to you. You'll drop like $200-$300 to get a decent seat, but you're there for 6 hours. If you go from the start, like my friends and I, you know, we're tapped into the regional scene. We know a lot of fighters because we have some friends that fight in the UFC and that fought professionally. So it's a very small community. Like, there's guys that you would never expect to see at a regional show in, like, Atlantic City from the UFC. You're like, why is Frankie Edgar here, who's a former champion? Why is Brian Ortega here, who's fighting for the belt? And it's like, oh, their training partners are here. You know, like, there's guys at my jiu-jitsu gym that are black belts that fight in Abu Dhabi, which is, like, the world championships. You know, and like they train with us and I train with them and, you know, we spar and jiu-jitsu is like rolling, right? So like you roll around with them and you're like, oh, it makes sense now. Like, yeah, I would definitely go and see him compete at the Garden or something. So I've become a massive fan of MMA. It's really closing into being my favorite sport, easily my favorite sporting event. And it's closing in. Warrior is closing in on a movie that might get that top spot eventually, but it's not there yet, Kyle. Yeah, it's not there yet.
It was on TV more. Like, I wish I had an excuse to watch it all the time. But let's talk the top spot for the folks who are not seeing this, because I'm the only one seeing this because this podcast is not on video. You are wearing a Miami Shark shirt. Wow, it is the Willie Beeman jersey. Nick, tell us about your number one favorite sports movie.
Easily, Any Given Sunday. I mean, just amazing movie. Cameron Diaz, one of the first women in my life that really was like, I don't know what that is, but I love it.
You watch this movie and you're ready for Cameron Diaz to ruin your life.
Yeah, like, listen, if we get married and she takes half, it would probably be an honor. For her to do so. The good half. Al Pacino's in it. Jamie Foxx kills the role of Willie Beeman. Lawrence Taylor as a Giants fan. And I love how, like, they really tapped into the psychopath that Lawrence Taylor was. One of my favorite Hall of Fame speech moments ever is when Bill Parcells says, when you guys put me in the Hall of Fame, make sure it's across from Lawrence Taylor so I can keep my eye on that sucker. I mean, there's, like, folk stories and myths of Lawrence Taylor like partying till 7 a.m. on into Sunday mornings, and Bill Parcells just being like, dude, the bus leaves at 10 a.m. I don't care what you do, you better be on that bus. And it's like the only guy that could keep Lawrence Taylor, that nut job, under control was Bill Parcells. And it was great to see, right? And like, he's in that movie too. And I mean, the speech,
The inches speech. It's probably the best sports. It's like the Mount Rushmore sports movie speech. It's incredible. Just an amazing. That's one you turn on when you need some motivation at the gym, right?
Oh, easily. Yeah. I used to listen to that before all my high school football games. Just would get me fired up. I can't think of, it's probably the first speech you put on the Mount Rushmore when you're building out the Mount Rushmore. Like, it's the first one. Like, for me, when you're building my personal Mount Rushmore, something I do on my Patreon series, it's called the Six Pack, where, like, if you were to build your own personal Mount Rushmore that would describe you, what's the first person that goes on there? And it's Stone Cold Steve Austin for me. Like, that's the first face that goes up. And for me, and with Any Given Sunday, like, it shows the partying. It shows the business side of football as well, the animosity between the starter and the backup who now becomes the guy, the sex, the drugs, the degenerate stuff going on too. And then ultimately they don't win the Super Bowl, right? Like, they don't get over the hump, which is also really, really cool. And I got this shirt because I went to OVO Fest in Toronto many, many years back, and Drake in 9 a.m. in Toronto, sorry, 9 a.m. in Dallas, the freestyle, if you ever heard it, if your audience has ever heard it, he mentions Willie Beeman. So when I went to the Drake show, he goes, throwing up in the huddle, man, Willie Beeman, but still throwing touchdown passes, right? When I went there, there were a couple people like, yo, I get it, man. The symbolism, like, that's dope, dude. So I got it because I was going to OVO Fest. And then I was like, yo, it's also my favorite sports movie. So it was just a home run purchase.
Probably the best movie about professional football that's really ever been made. The most, at least, like a great attempt at kind of the realism of getting into the nitty gritty of professional football and not really painting anything over. I mean, it's Oliver Stone, and he's going to get gritty and absolutely, I mean, Platoon, JFK, Oliver Stone is going to take some weird swings, but with this movie, the cast, the performance by Al Pacino, really one of Al Pacino's last good performances, because things just kind of got off the rails after that. You know, he's more of a caricature now, but although I like The Irishman, but Any Given Sunday is a fan. It's another TNT all-star, but you kind of lose a little bit on the cable watch because it is a movie that's rated R. But it's surprising that as beloved and as obsessed over as professional football is, as the NFL is in this country, that there haven't been many successful shots at professional football movies, and Any Given Sunday is absolutely lands.
Dude, that's such a great point. I never thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. Do you remember that show Ballers?
So
that was on. Was it called Ballers?
You're thinking of Playmakers. So Ballers,
Playmakers. Yeah,
but
yes.
The NFL got Playmakers. The NFL said off. No. Yeah, and if someone can hook me up with a digital, like a ripped copy of Playmakers, we will rewatch it for this show, because I would love to do that, but I think DVDs and Playmakers are pretty expensive now. But
But yo, you're so right, dude, because like they're football movies, right? Like Invincible. Like there's a lot of things left out from there. You know what I mean? Like, but showing that, like, you know, these guys take painkillers and these guys are doing cocaine and they're taking all these other, like, you're taking speed and the alcohol and the prostitution and the girls and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, these are professional athletes making millions of dollars. They're going to act up. They're going to do some dumb shit. That's just life, dude, and logic. I talk about this all the time on my show. It's like, why do we slander a 20-year-old professional athlete who gets into the NBA or gets into the NFL, and they go from eating ramen noodles and having nothing to having hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars? And yeah, they're going to do some dumb shit. Like, dude, I'm 30 years old. If I was to stumble on $10 million, I'm going straight to Vegas with my buddies and spending like $100,000 just to have people tell me I'm dumb with my money and be like, listen, I still got money. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to do some dumb stuff. It's just your nature, I think, as humans. Or maybe I'm just immature, bro, which could be the answer as well.
It's almost like it's surprising that no one has taken another realistic shot at a pro football movie, but you're never going to get the NFL's blessing for that. And the look that Any Given Sunday gives into professional football, I'm a huge fan of this movie. I think it's a great choice for number one sports movie. Absolutely.
Dude, can I ask you what your list is?
That's a loaded question. I have never given that on this podcast. It's very difficult for me. Very difficult for me.
I have a clear number one.
Number one for me is Bull Durham. I love Bull Durham with all my heart. The last episode of this podcast, whenever I wrap this up, it's going to be like a 6-hour Bull Durham pod. It's just going to be me monologuing until like my voice gives out. Just of the movies you listed, like I could make an argument for Miracle in there. I could make an argument for Warrior in there. You know, the thing about sports movies is there's such a variety in the genre of, like, you know, Miracle was a big budget Disney movie that was really popular and did really well. But there's also, you know, a baseball movie called Sugar, which is so small and underseen. It was an indie movie that came out in 2008. Almost no one's ever seen, but it's a fantastic baseball movie. And it's an immigrant story and a minor league baseball story. And it's perfect. So there's so much variety in the sports movie genre because it's produced huge blockbusters and also just great independent stories, because that's the cool thing about sports is that there are so many unique stories out there and different ways you can do things and stuff like that. Like, we talk about Moneyball, as Moneyball was insanely popular, nominated for Best Picture, and Brad Pitt nominated for Best Actor and stuff like that. But then Steven Soderbergh goes and does High Flying Bird, which is on Netflix, and didn't get nearly the buzz Moneyball did, but was kind of like, let's look at the player, you know, the player dynamics and the player empowerment side of the NBA and stuff, and do great movies like that. So, I mean, Bull Durham is the only constant. It's at the top of the mountain, and there's millions of other, you know, thousands of other sports movies and great stories and stuff. So I'm not even sure if I'll ever do my top five. I don't think I can limit myself like that. That's why I had to have you on to give a top five.
I love it. I do this on Patreon, where when I do the six pack, it's my guest answering all of them. If you've listened to the show and you've listened to the six packs, a lot of times it's you answering them. And I'll chime in here and there, but I'll never give out all my answers on one show. So it's like you'd have to listen to all of them and like try to put them together. So I love the fact that you haven't ever put your list together.
Yeah, I would let my listeners guess. I'll give you the first one with Bull Durham, and then everyone else can just guess or figure out on their own, you know, based on what on movies I've covered, how I've talked about them, or how I felt about them. I mean, it's not even something, you know, I need to look in the mirror and really decide, is there a top five? Can I, you know, can I do that? But Nick, this was great. I am glad that you came on, gave me a list, gave me some fun stuff to talk about. This has been a good time. Tell the folks again where they can follow you on social media, where they can check out your podcast.
Dude, I had an amazing time. I could probably go another hour and a half with you right
me
now.
Too. Just me too, shit. Honestly. We just, could just yeah. We could shoot it for the rest of the night.
Yeah, man. And it's weird, right? Like, I don't know about you, but oftentimes when you do a Zoom, especially with Zoom, with someone that you've never recorded with before, it takes a while to get going and getting fun, but this one from the beginning, maybe because we had some conversations in the past, but man, this was awesome. This is something I don't often do, so hopefully some of my listeners could come and check this out too. And at the Lamb Show is where you can find me. At Veterans Minimum is where you can find everything on the show. And I'm fairly active, man. I tweet and post a ton. I'm a believer of I'm going to throw enough shit on the wall that you're going to see it. It's not going to just stick. You're going to see it too. So again, this was an absolute pleasure.
Absolutely, man. Like I said before we started, you know, when we started recording, huge fan of your hustle. Really glad that you came on here, that we had the chance to talk. Really enjoyed this. If you enjoyed this episode of Big Screen Sports, please remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate, leave a review if you're on Apple Podcasts. Continuing the Ted Lasso rewatch that's coming at you every Monday, season one of Ted Lasso, me and Alex McDaniel. And if you're a baseball fan, check out my interview series From Phenom to the Farm that is presented by Baseball America. And comes at you every other Tuesday for Big Screen Sports. We'll catch you next Monday talking Ted Lasso. Thanks for listening.